It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, a new door or new window can do a lot of things. It can change the look, the feeling, the vibe of your home. Plus, it can make your home more energy efficient, and it can add value to your home. Pella checks all those boxes and then some. So now is the time. Turn your window and door remodeling dreams into a reality with the good folks at Pella. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And got to tell you about my good friends at Runza. Listeners of the show know that I'm a hip-hop fan. You know I'm a hip-hop fan, man. Jay-Z, Nas, Kanye, all those guys. Old Kanye, not new Kanye, old Kanye. But when it's time to get my lunch game right, I crank up a Runza DMC, which stands for Runza Delicious Meaty Combo. I get my Runza sandwich with a little cheese in there. I get a little French fries on the side, which are most notably the world's best crinkle fries. I polish it off with a beverage colder than the ice in Scott Frost veins, baby. That's the Runza DMC, the delicious meaty combo. Get to Runza today. Get yours. Tell them your friend Nick Ba sent you. I actually had some Runza today. It's a podcast fuel, you know? That's what it is. Had a little podcast fuel, a little Runza. So shouts out to Runza and Pella. All right. So, you know, I had to fire up an emergency Big Ten schedule released podcast here. And I had to take it a step further. I had to hit up my boy Bo Rood, get him over here, and I had to we had to crack open a bottle of wine. We just had to. So we turned this into an event. This is, you know, Big Ten schedule 3.0 version wine pod breakdown. We cashed an entire bottle of wine and we break down everything with Nebraska's brand new Big Ten schedule. Tons of good stuff with this pod. So let's get to it, man. Wine pod. Big Ten schedule released pod. Tons of fun in this one. Enjoy. All right. It is an emergency wine pod. Bo Robert Root is here. We've already started. And
we broke the glass case and we pulled it out.
We had to have it because this is now our second
season
schedule pod to preview Nebraska's slate.
Is it our third or our second?
I'm confused now.
We might have done one in the spring where we were talking football and we're looking at the schedule. I guarantee we did.
It's entirely possible that at some point it's possible this is our third schedule preview pod for Nebraska.
I think it is.
It's possible. Now, here's the thing. So we're drinking wine. We weren't necessarily planning on drinking wine, but here's the thing. You would think that we'd be drinking wine in celebration of like football and a schedule and stuff, but we're kind of drinking because of frustration of the schedule too. Do we need to flip to optimistic?
I think we can have both of the same. Like, I am drinking because I'm happy, and I will start by saying I'm not going to quote unquote complain,
right?
Because I get football. That's all I want. I'll take. Give me Clemson. Give me Notre Dame. Give me Alabama. Give me everybody.
Give me the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs.
We'll go to Arrowhead and play the Chiefs.
Somebody get the 85 Bears on the horn.
72 Dolphins.
72 Dolphins. I just want to play football.
What was the best Cowboys team? 95? 94?
Yeah, 95. Yeah,
95 Cowboys. I mean, I don't care at this point.
Yeah.
I don't care. So let's preface everything with like, listen.
Let's start there. We get football.
We get a season, okay? There was a chance we weren't going to get a season. We're going to get a season, so we're happy about that. But there's also the element of how things shook out that you go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So this is our third schedule pod. And the theme that has occurred in each of these pods is, man, we got a tough schedule. Now, the second one, we actually liked how things were lining up better.
opened the season at Rutgers. He had Illinois at home. Then he had a really tough four-game stretch with like Wisconsin and Iowa and Penn State and all those things. But then you also picked up Michigan State as one of the crossovers. So the Bill Moose Jenga 41 schedule, in all reality,
we liked
got a thumbs up.
And Purdue had their best player opt out. Minnesota had their best player opt out. So we were kind of going,
there were some putts like, oh my God. There's no Bateman for Minnesota. There's no Rondell Moore for Purdue. There's no Micah Parsons for Penn State. And now we'll see what ultimately ends up happening with all these people now wanting to opt back in. all those guys are back in. And the way the schedule folds is like.
So the schedule basically got condensed now. So it's one less game. But we have kept every hard opponent, and they've gotten moved to the worst places they could possibly get moved to.
Yeah. So here's the hard part. It's been so interesting. Like, of course, if you're a player, you know, I loved playing. Like, I'm sure you played USC twice. You're like, yeah, let's go.
They're
like,
the games you're looking the most.
You're pumped. Like, you know who's pumped to play at Ohio State week one? All the players are.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of different ways to look at this. If you're a player, you're pumped. But we're viewing this from like, okay, what is going to give Nebraska the best chance to stockpile wins, knowing that ultimately at some point you're going to have to play Ohio State, you're going to have to play Wisconsin, you're going to have to play these teams.
Yeah.
But order matters. When you're looking at a schedule, order, timing, all that stuff makes a difference in how a schedule can unfold for you.
We typically try not to have our hardest game the first game of the year or the second game of the year. Like, that's a typical schedule for Nebraska. We like to do our non-cons then. Maybe we'll have a Big Ten we've been doing, but they're not the best team in the league. But, like, we like the idea of, you know, knocking the rust off. You haven't played a real football game.
You
want
to play Akron to start the year. You want to play South Alabama to start the year. You know, you need a game to kind of get yourself in it.
And so why don't you explain to the people who didn't see what just happened?
Here's the thing. So Nebraska's schedule, they'll be playing three of their first four games are against AP top 25 teams. There are eight games on the schedule. Five of them are against preseason top 25 teams. So here, but here's the thing is, now granted, six of the opponents, excuse me, were always like, you were always going to play the West teams. That's understood. But the big thing was, okay, what's going to happen? Basically, the big mystery was, what is really one of the crossover games going to be? Because Ohio State is Nebraska's protected crossover game is what you call it.
So we knew we were keeping that.
So basically there were seven games that were seven opponents that you knew were going to be on the schedule. The six West Division teams and Ohio State. The big question became, okay, what's the order of those games? And then what is going to be the other crossover game? Now, if you go back to the original schedule, not the Jenga 41, I'm talking the original.
Yeah.
The original schedule, Nebraska's home crossover opponent was Penn State. And so Nebraska needed, because to balance your home and away and satisfy your crossover, they needed to have whatever crossover team they were going to have be what was going to be at home. And unfortunately, that game was Penn State. So Nebraska all of a sudden has not as tough of a schedule as you could possibly imagine. And as Bill Moose put it, reading here from the story from the Lincoln Journal Star, Bill Moose says, you just look at it, and if you don't know the rationale, it looks like we're getting the shaft. Now, the thing that could have been helpful is the placement of the games. To take a third-year coach and a young team up to the number two team in the nation and then come home and play the number 12 team here, where's your momentum without your conference schedule? It's a good question, Bill Moose. So let's get into the order of the games.
Yes.
Week one, Nebraska's first game is going to be at Ohio State. Now, you kind of felt like that.
I took a big drink.
Should I take a drink? I mean, after that one, I'd have to imagine Frost and those guys like, oh, God. Oh, that's some good wine right there. There's kind of you can I mean, ultimately you can kind of see it how it'll be packaged on TV. The two teams that fought the hardest for football to return, Nebraska and Ohio State, you know, all that stuff. So Nebraska opens the season at Ohio State. Oh, by the way, Wyatt Davis, their all-conference offensive lineman, is trying to opt back in to play.
Sean Wade,
their big-time corner, who's like a first-round pick, he's trying to opt back in. They still have Justin Fields, who's arguably the best quarterback in the country, not named Trevor Lawrence. This is going to be... Listen, there's a chance Nebraska goes on the first game of the season and gets absolutely obliterated.
Yeah. Oh, and so kind of sticking to what you, the theme you're on is, you know, the... Okay... If Ohio State has to stay and Penn State has to stay because of some, you know, contractual thing.
The way the schedule falls.
It was a rough schedule all around because of that anyway, because they were on our schedule to begin with. And you're saying if we can't adjust these schedules because they're less fair with the less amount of games, it feels unfair, right? So if they're saying there's absolutely no way to do this, which I don't believe. Okay, well then order actually matters then. Right?
Yes.
And so here's where I'm suspicious, okay? I look around at who's playing who on that first week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the first week matters. And the two teams that wanted to play the most, and this is the most important part, that were the most prepared, Nebraska and Ohio State, are playing each other. Who were the least prepared teams?
Rutgers and probably Michigan State.
Guess who's playing each other first?
Rutgers and Michigan State.
Yes. Who else is probably less prepared? Maybe Maryland and Northwestern.
I'd say Maryland for sure.
And Northwestern, they're playing each other. How about Minnesota and Michigan, who they've had major playing each other. And so then Wisconsin and Iowa, Illinois and Iowa and Purdue, decent match. And Penn State, Indiana, decent match. I think they basically paired everybody first on the whoever was the level of preparedness you were.
Okay.
You're playing, which to me was like, we're getting punished for being prepared. So we the last schedule, we played Rutgers first.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Advantage Nebraska.
Yes.
And then, guess what they didn't want? Advantage Nebraska.
Right.
They didn't
because
want
we understand, we talk about this all the time, the importance of momentum. Like Bill Moos just said, where's your momentum? Like one thing Nebraska needs more so than anything is to like start believing that they can get it going and start winning. Again, we always go back and look at Minnesota last year. Minnesota won their three non-conference games in the final minute of the game, which got them going, and then ultimately they kind of got it rolling a little bit.
And that, Nick, that's why when we did the pod number two season schedule.
Jenga 41.
Bill Moos on the ranch.
Yes.
Figured it out.
Things.
We were so optimistic about that schedule because the way it laid out. And so for them to change the layout this drastically, you cannot tell me that they basically said either.
It just happened to fall that way.
It happened to fall that way. Or if it did, they were unwilling to move it for us where they would maybe move it for somebody else.
Well, let's just lay out the first four weeks. So at Ohio State to start, then week two, Nebraska hosts Wisconsin and Lincoln. Week three, Nebraska goes to Evanston, Illinois to play Northwestern. And then week four, Penn State is in Lincoln. So
three of the best four teams in the conference.
Who are the three best teams in the Big
Those
Ten?
Those
are the three best teams. Who are three of the four teams right out the chute? Those three teams. Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. And then, oh, by the way, let's not also gloss over the Northwestern game. For as long as Nebraska's been in the Big Ten, has been a bitch of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, every year, regardless of if it's at Northwestern or Lincoln, it doesn't matter. It's a good game. So those first four games are all going to be tough, and three of the first four are against teams that are in the AP top 15. Ohio State's number two, Penn State's seventh, and Wisconsin is 12th. So it's just, again, I understand that ultimately these teams in some iteration were going to be on the schedule. But as you just said, like, this is where order matters. And not only does order matter regardless of who you are, it really matters when you're a program trying to
get over the hump.
Get over the hump.
And that's what I think every Nebraska fan, because our fans know. They know where we're at as a team. And I think they know this team still building their confidence. They're building their confidence. And this schedule, if not executed, can be a confidence killer.
A confidence annihilator.
There is a scenario where we build confidence from this if we perform well. I'm not even saying we're going to win every game, but we need to play well in each of these games would give us confidence. But it's putting us in a position that wouldn't exist if we get Rutgers, Michigan State, and Illinois or somebody to start out our year. It's like that's a different scenario no matter what.
Absolutely.
If we play good or bad, we kind of are going to be okay.
Yes. The harsh reality of the situation at hand is Nebraska's trying to become a winning program again, right? Yeah. And the dirty little secret is the only way to becoming a winning program is to win.
Yeah.
You just have to win. And when you open the season at Ohio State, you might not just lose, you might get your teeth kicked in.
Yep.
And then Wisconsin comes to town, you go to Northwestern, then Penn State. And so it's just unfortunate that the order of how the schedule fell does not play well to the type of team that Nebraska has.
Yeah, here's somebody's going to have to explain to me the contract or the rationale.
I still don't get the Penn State thing. Like, okay, so, I get it. You said, like, well, they were the only home East Division team. Like, look, listen, man, we're in a pandemic. We've taken schedules, crumpled them up, and thrown them in the piece of paper two or three times. You're telling me that it's impossible to say, instead of Nebraska hosting Penn State, why don't we stop and look around and go, is it a little unfair that Nebraska is going to get the Purdue, two best teams in the conference?
Purdue's got Rutgers and they don't got anybody else hard. So maybe they get Penn State and we'll take Rutgers. And guess what? It works out just fine. It will work out.
That's the thing I just don't understand. Like, you can sit there. I mean, Purdue's two crossover games are Rutgers and Indiana. Purdue's two crossover games are Rutgers and Indiana. So, listen, man, I get it. You can sit there and tell me, like, well, you know, listen, it had to be an East Division team that was home on their schedule. Like, you could have, bottom line, for Jenga 41, you were able to add Michigan State to the home slate.
That's what I mean, man.
So, I just think these are self-imposed guidelines where the Penn State thing is what really, if someone said, what's your problem with schedule? I'd say the order. And then did it absolutely have to be Penn State?
Here's the thing. If they wanted to, there's a since they moved the orders anyway, right? It wasn't like
they changed the schedule. This is the third time they've changed
the orders are so much different than they were the last time that you could say, well, how about this? Let's try to make it fair where the best everybody's got to play one to two of the top, you know, let's say there's top four teams, quote unquote. Or top five teams, like you should only have to play one or two of those. We're like, if we've got already one or two on the schedule, like when we go from like we go to from five and somebody else has one, you just go, why can't we switch that around?
It just doesn't
right
feel like Nebraska's ever been, other than the first year with the schedule, Frost being here in 2018. I just don't feel like Nebraska's ever caught a break with the schedule since they've joined the Big Ten.
No. I mean, 2018 was such a goofy
and it's hard,
deal.
Yeah, it's such a tough year. But
this to me is when you're sitting in a room.
How could
I have a feeling Bill Moose was lobbying and they were not giving him an inch.
I just don't understand. How could whoever's in the room making the decision, how could you not just stop for a second and go, okay, hold on. Do you guys realize Nebraska's two crossover games are Ohio State and Penn State?
And then they're going to play three top 25 teams in the first four games? Does that seem fair? I mean, did that conversation happen?
And here, listen, I want people to listen to it. Like, we're not saying that Nebraska can't play all, like, Nebraska's gonna have to play all these teams at some point, but like, order them out a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's so weird to think, like, even if you're Alabama, it's like, okay, I'm Alabama, and my first game is against Auburn, my second game is against
Georgia,
and my third game
LSU,
is against
you,
and then Clemson. So my first four, though, it's like, no, like, that's crazy.
It's frustrating, and I get it, man. You know, like we said the whole time, you know what the players are doing? The players are like, dude, bro, we get Ohio State, start the season, and we Wisconsin. Like, they're excited about it.
They're excited, like, yeah.
Yeah, they're excited about it. But I don't like this disingenuous thing that, like, all of a sudden people are going to act like order doesn't matter.
The order in which
you play a team.
This order is controllable, and they left somebody out to dry, and it was us.
There were two things that, in my opinion, were controllable.
Yeah.
The second crossover opponent and the order in which the games fell. Those two things you could kind of control a little bit.
Yeah.
And I would say, in that regard, how did the order fall? I would say, oh, about as bad as you could imagine. And then how did the second crossover matchup go? Oh, about as bad as you could imagine.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, even, like, you know, Ohio State, they gave Penn State after us. Like, I don't know. I just feel like...
Well, you look at Ohio State, and Urban Meyer said this on... I mean, Urban Meyer talked about... He's like, listen, scheduling's important. I'm paraphrasing. He's like, scheduling's important. Who you draw, all that stuff's important. Ohio State doesn't have to play Wisconsin, Iowa, or Minnesota.
Yeah.
Iowa's crossover games are Michigan State and Penn State. Wisconsin's crossover games are Indiana and Michigan.
Well, and I'm just looking to start. Iowa starts Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan State, Minnesota. Like, to me, that's what the type of schedule I was hoping for.
Right.
And we did not get that. And so Iowa gets a big win. And, you know, I don't know.
Iowa gets Illinois and then at Nebraska and then Purdue before they got to go to Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because, again, order matters. And I just struggle with this idea that there was no wiggle room or no way to figure out a way for Penn State to not be the opponent.
I know. There's just...
I don't understand, you know, because you'd be like, well, listen, Penn State, you know, they were... It's about home and away. Well, guess where Nebraska was... Like, teams have altered all around. Purdue was away and then home, and then Wisconsin was home and then away. Yeah. And then it was like, I just don't, I struggle with this idea that you couldn't have altered this a little bit.
Because it's been, once you've altered it once, alter it again, make it fair. And I mean, let's accept reality. This is not going to change, right? So let me ask you this. Is there an advantage to playing Ohio State game one?
Yep. Could be.
Hit me with it.
Well, because all the reasons that we look at negatively about Nebraska are all the same things with Ohio State from the standpoint of you usually aren't your best in the first game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you're usually
that's true.
Not your best. No one usually says, like, the best game was the first game and then got worse each game. That's usually how it works. So if there ever was a time to catch a team, it's earlier in the season. Just say it out loud. When do you think Wisconsin or Ohio State's going to be a better football team? 5 games in or right away?
Oh, for sure.
Conventional wisdom would tell you 5 games in.
For sure. I guess for me, I look at Wisconsin week 2, and I feel that way more about Wisconsin, actually. I actually feel like I would rather play Wisconsin than later on, because they've been a program that has been sitting out a little bit more. They've taken bigger breaks and haven't been as diligent as Nebraska's. I guess the one downside is Ohio State's probably the only one maybe up to our par of, like,
working.
We're doing these things. We've been working. We've been practicing. And so my worry is that if those things wash out, we're both a little rusty, then talent, which they got more talent than we do. Talent usually wins out.
Oh, totally. I mean,
but,
listen.
But there is that like that first game, you know, the quarterback might just be
weird
off.
Weird things.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's what happened 2 years ago at Ohio State, actually, was Dwayne Haskins was the quarterback, and he was off. He actually played terrible that game. And so he played bad. We played pretty good. We really should have won the game, and we pissed it away in the fourth quarter. But we were in that game. Like, right. Nebraska would right now, if you said, would you take that game and take the loss? Sheesh. We'd probably be like, yes. But that's something that could happen here. But the other side is, like, we saw what happened last year when Ohio State's firing on all cylinders. It's like we didn't even play bad, and they kicked our butt.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I guess like if I had to find some advantage, that would be it. But at the end of the day, do I think this is going to be a shellacking? Probably.
It's just it's hard. They are – I would argue that like they handled Clemson in a lot of ways last year. They got screwed out of that Clemson game in the playoff last year. Remember the targeting, and then Lawrence like the next – play like didn't he go for 70, but it was a couple really bad calls.
Agree.
And a couple bad replays. So I mean Ohio State they lose Chase Young and a defensive back and their running back, but they are still
they're loaded, man.
Arguably the most loaded team in the country.
100% agree. Now the one thing that could be cool is you know it would be pretty damn cool. You know, because one of the narratives of restarting the season has been like we got to give Ohio State an opportunity to make the playoff. Wouldn't it be pretty cool as, for whatever reason, I wish I could understand it completely. Nebraska has become this like heel, this like wrestling heel villain amongst college football media.
It's the media. Nick, because you're in media. You tell me what it is because I don't understand it.
I don't. I mean, I think people... I mean, this could be a whole nother pot. I mean, I think there's some people that I don't want to say we're rooting against college football, but people have beliefs and agendas, and anything that stands in the way of that is going to get chewed up pretty good. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know.
Nebraska, I felt like Nebraska took the brunt of it. It wasn't Ohio State. It wasn't Iowa. We took the brunt of that. Whatever that scrutiny was only hit us. And I'm wondering why.
That's what I don't
know. Do they think because we're such a rabid fan base that we were out of touch?
I think a part of it is like, because that's what's so funny is like, you know, we're taping this on a Saturday evening here, the day the schedule came out, and like the takes on Twitter and the people on TV, like Nebraska wanted football, they got it. I want to be like, time out. You think Nebraska was the... First of all, is it that bad that they wanted to play?
Yeah.
Why is that that bad?
Especially these people that's their job.
That's their job. You're a former football player. You're a former football player. And you're like, Nebraska wanted to play. Well, they got it. It's like, well, would you want to play?
Yeah.
So first of all, it's like, what's so damn bad about wanting to play? And then second of all, do you think Nebraska is the only team in the Big Ten that wanted to play?
Yeah.
No. I mean, they don't say that about Ohio State or any of these other – like. They
give Ohio State all the credit, and I mean Urban Meyer.
They give Ohio State all the credit, and then they give Nebraska the heel of it.
Yeah, only guys like Urban Meyer gave Scott Frost credit.
What I think it is, what I think some of it is, I think that it speaks to. There must be something to people in their head, they can stomach. An entity or an individual kicking and screaming when they feel like they've earned it. Like they're, which is stupid to, when you think like,
yeah.
For whatever reason, because Ohio State won a national championship in 2014 and have won multiple Big Ten titles and all that stuff, because they went to the playoff last year, they've earned the right to act a certain way. Over the last 20 years, a lot of college football media have felt they don't feel like Nebraska's earned the right to act the way they're acting. And to me, I don't understand why does your lack of conference championship success exclude you from the conversation of wanting to play football?
Because it's a bunch of BS what it is.
All right, let's take a quick break to talk about my good friends at Runza. Boy, did this last read explode on social media, because I have let you into a top secret menu item that has really blown everybody's mind. Did you know at Runza, you can get anything on a Runza sandwich? Like, I love a cheese Runza, but if I wanted to, I could get pickles on it or mustard. I could put some more onions in that bad boy. I could put some fries in there. It's anything in the kitchen within reason you can ask for, and they'll add it. Again, I'm a cheese Runza guy, but next time I stop in, I think I'm going to throw some pepper jack cheese on that bad boy, maybe even some French fries on it as well. I mean, you can do whatever you want within reason because every Runza is made to order. They all start as an original with no toppings, and they can add the toppings when you order, and boom, you got a custom Runza sandwich. You can't beat it. So that's, once again, the super secret menu item from my friends at Runza. The build your own Runza. Get into Runza today. Get one that's just for you and tell them Nick Baugh sent you. And while we're here, let's talk about Pella windows and doors. Here's the thing. Putting in some new windows or a new door, it's really exciting, but sometimes you don't even know where to begin. Let me help you out. First of all, you got to go with Pella. That's obvious. And with going with Pella, there are a couple of directions you can go to start. You can schedule a free in-home consultation. That's right, free. You'll get a Pella expert out to sit down with you, look at your home, and they're going to be able to get a Tom Osborne-esque game plan for you that fits your budget, your wants, and your needs. That's one option. Or option number two, you can head out to the showroom. The showroom is really cool. Sometimes it actually helps you kind of see the window or see the door, feel it, open it, close it to get a better feel of exactly what you're putting into your home. So the showroom is also a great place to start as well. Any direction you go to start, just know that Pella can 100% provide window and door solutions to any home. Check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Back to the podcast.
I might be out of touch with my love of Nebraska and my idea of what they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing these Husker recaps and we're talking about the national titles we won in the 90s. That's not that long ago, right? Like, we were the dominant school for 30 years. And so that's the way, like, if Notre Dame, who hasn't won a title since, I don't know, before us, the last time we did, they haven't won a title, but they get to say what they want to say. And I'm right. Like, I don't see us any differently than Notre Dame, right? Or even, I don't even know, like, there's a bunch of other teams that haven't won titles that, or even have been near as dominant as Nebraska. And the media, like, writes, I think it's something to do with they think we're like a bunch of hicks. I really do.
You've had that. I mean,
I think they think we're hicks. I think they'd say the same thing if it was Wyoming or if Montana or if the Dakotas, if any of those schools had a big time football program like us, they treat us like them. They think we're a bunch of hicks and they think that we're undeserving to have an opinion. And I think that's the part where Nebraska fans are united right now. Well, and they are like, they see the hypocrisy in the way the media is viewing us.
Well, I just don't. I mean, so who has, you think about the past, I wish I had this in front of me. So Ohio State won in 2014.
Yeah.
Michigan shared with us in 97.
Yep.
When's the last Big Ten? 2002?
2002 Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yeah. So there's three.
Yeah, I mean, no other Big Ten teams won.
So I guess what I'm saying, so since
Penn State won in
82. So there's four.
They won in 82 and there was one other, maybe 85? No, 86. Penn State won 82 and 86. That's their two titles. And when did they join the Big Ten? It was actually like they weren't an original Big Ten team. So they joined later. I don't even know if it was technically the 80s even when they joined. It might have been early 90s.
So I guess my point of what I'm bringing up is like you combine all of the Big Ten and their national championships since 1970.
Yeah, or whatever.
They don't even they still don't equal Nebraska.
Michigan's treated a certain way because a lot of media comes from Michigan and Michigan plays and Ohio State and has the right. But Michigan hasn't won anything since us. So, but they're treated like gods. I don't know why. It's just they are.
And so I guess it's just for whatever reason people want to just omit Nebraska's. Some of this could be too when a lot of what you accomplished historically wasn't in a certain conference. So it becomes, we've said it's in this like purgatory of like success, but it just makes people want to dismiss Nebraska's past.
Yeah, see, in the Big 12, they wouldn't do that to us. That's the one gripe. And I tell you this. I told you my theory on when I watched the Big 10 Network. Nebraska is the never on. Ever, ever. We might as well be Rutgers. Like, that's how they see us. But, like, if we were in the Big 12, there's just all that history there. And that's the problem, is our history didn't get brought over, and they don't care about it, and they don't want it. And that's a problem, because if you don't share it as the Big 10, the new generation doesn't know. Because that history is a big deal.
It's almost like, so you work for Stryker Medical Sales. Mm-hmm. Imagine, like, the five most accomplished people in medical sales all at a table. And then you bring in someone else from another medical sales company. He's actually accomplished more, if you want to talk about, you know, what he sold and all this stuff. He pulls a seat up to that table. There's this feeling that, like, well, what you didn't do it here.
Yeah, so this is a different field over
different,
here.
This is different here. You did that over there. This is here. It's a little different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like we could... We got to get back. We've only gotten through the first four games of the schedule, but it's interesting.
But we're not being treated like Penn State.
But I just think
State.
It's interesting the treatment and the way Nebraska's been viewed and the way Nebraska's been talked about is interesting to me.
So the thing about Penn State, all right? So Penn State won in 82 and 86. They haven't won since. And they're treated so much with more respect than we are. And even after the whole Sandusky thing. I'm glad that's sort of blown, but I want them to not be hung over.
You don't want because you know what? The sins of, no. Everybody there right now had nothing to do with.
Yeah, the people that were like, right, had whatever. Anything to do are gone.
Right,
but I'm happy for them. But like, it's also like, it's hypocrisy. Like, why treat them better other than they've been there longer? I mean, Ohio State and Michigan are sort of the founding fathers, but like, at the same time, like. You should be happy Nebraska's in your conference, not sort of like resentful of it in some weird way.
I agree.
It's a weird thing.
It's been bizarre. The reaction, not only within clearly the inner workings of the Big Ten, but then the national outside media covering all this, the way Nebraska's gotten painted. I mean, they are a heel. They are a
Nebraska
WWF
said
heel.
We wanted to play. They got bashed. Ohio State the next day said, actually exactly what they said, we want the same thing. And everyone's like, you know what, Ohio State did it. They helped get this thing back. And you go, and Nebraska's going, what? What are you talking about?
It's crazy. It's bizarre. Now, what would be cool, like I said, what would be cool is, you know, you're a wrestling heel. You know what would be nice? Would be pretty cool. You go spoil everything in
because
the whole impetus for the reboot is for Ohio State to make the playoff. What if Nebraska goes to Columbus, Ohio, and pulls off the unthinkable?
Nick, we need to get Vince McMahon on the horn right now because
we
need a plot twist.
I mean, seriously.
Oh no, that's Nebraska's music. It's Nebraska's.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line, because Wandale Robinson said so. That's what maybe could happen.
Good God, it's Nebraska.
It's Nebraska's music. Oh, my God.
Oh, good God, it's Nebraska. They're coming. It's the Tunnel Walk. Oh, God.
Could you imagine?
The Tunnel Walk goes, boom.
I mean, could you imagine?
Boom.
Okay, so Nebraska's first four games are at Ohio State, Wisconsin, then at Northwestern, Penn State. Then week five, they have Illinois at home, so they have back-to-back home games.
Okay.
Then they have two straight roadies. They're at Iowa. This game might be on Black Friday, as Moose had talked about. That's when it'll fall on week six, potentially.
Which is cool that we're gonna find some positives here. Moose. You got to love Bill Moose, okay? We make jokes about the ranch, but we do it out of love. But Bill Moose understands what Nebraska wants and needs. He says, I'm going to get Iowa on Black Friday because Black Friday's Nebraska's, and he's going to get it. All right? We're already on that weekend. It's now just TV to shift there.
Yeah.
But like that's somebody that has our best interests at heart.
Right.
He gets it. That's awesome.
Totally agree. So at Iowa, then week 7 at Purdue, and then you finish it up with Minnesota at home. So that is your sketch. That's your sketch. As Bo Root fills me back up. You're getting your. I was Brendan Hymus with my speed of drinking the wine. You were. Is Omar Manning fast or is he just tall?
I think he's both.
Oh, I like him.
That's how I pour my.
Hey, Sean Wade. Hey, Sean Wade. Have you ever met Omar Manning?
I think his nickname's Booby.
What is it?
Booby. Oh. It's like Friday Night Lights. Booby
like
Miles.
It. I like it. Let's hope there's not a knee injury though involved here. Okay. Do we want to snapshot, knee jerk, predict this thing real quick?
Do we feel like
that's going to bum everybody out?
Really? No. It wouldn't be, because guess what? When me and you predict things, we are very optimistic. So
I hope. I had my number in my head, but let's do it. Week 1 at Ohio State.
I'm going to say my heart tells me we play well and don't quite pull it off.
I can see that.
Because we're not home.
I think Frost and boys have they have some
yeah.
They have some things for them. So week 1 Ohio State loss. I mean, it's hard to sit here and be like, they're going to win that game.
Begrudgingly, we'll start with an L, keep it within reality.
Right. Wisconsin in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nick, and I told you this at the start of this pod, I feel better about playing Wisconsin game 2. I'm going win with the Huskers game 2.
Because you're going win, I'm going win. No Jonathan Taylor, he's gone now. That dude was
their strength is their line. And that's really the part of their everything starts and stops with their line, their running back, and they got a new running back, and their line's going to get the least amount of hitting they've had ever, and their line's better as the year goes on. So I think this is not a bad time to. But
so you going dub?
I'm going dub, but their team's human. You know what I mean? Like Ohio State's not as human as Wisconsin.
Agreed. At Northwestern,
I'll take the dub.
I can't decide on this one.
They've shut down pretty good from my understanding.
Because that's our part. As much as we talk about factors, that has to be a factor.
I think people get out of shape. If you're not in a program constantly going, that goofs you up. I mean, normally you come out of June, July of extreme workouts into camp 3-4 weeks, and then you play.
This isn't going to be easy for
people. The teams that shut it down, it takes a while to ramp that stuff
totally.
Up.
Totally. So I'll go win too, as I'm just easily influenced by you. Week 4 at Penn State, or Penn State in Lincoln. I'm going to go L. I think there are two teams that are just, from a talent standpoint, superior. And I think Penn State and Ohio State are those two teams.
Yeah, I have a hard time feeling like... We're at home, but there's no fans.
There's no fan. That's the problem. You're at home. It's like, well, there's no fans. Grand total of zero.
So here's how I'll phrase this.
Barrett's too. Can Hud and Brooks make a lot of noise?
I'm going to try to get a ticket. I'm going to tell you right
family?
Now.
Family.
I'm family.
How much noise can you make?
I'm one of those guys.
You're timing with.
I'm kind of a.
You're
not
a reserved.
I'm
I've
not
watched
a
lot of games with you. You're a reserved guy.
I'm not a big loud guy,
I'm
but
not
I'm
not either.
I'm very emotionally into it.
I'm a
just,
crier.
You do cry.
Well, I'll get mad.
If
like
I'm
the
playing,
tunnel
you
walk,
cry.
Be like, last week, Levante David had 2 tackles for a loss. I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. Last week, Sam Keller sued EA Sports. Fans, let's hear it for these Huskers.
Oh, God.
Why didn't we get that last? I just want to hear last week Sam Keller sued. Last week Sam Keller sued EA Sports. Everybody's in the same room as Dan. Like, this is good. This is good.
Oh, God, I feel so good.
God, it's not good.
That's where you want to be in the stadium. You want to hear that stuff.
I know. But so can you make some noise? Can you help out?
I'll do my best. But here's what my
just
original
Brooks
thought
and
is.
Hud, you're two Barrett's two little boys. Get them crunk. Get them a bunch of Skittles or something.
get them all jacked up. But
get HUD crying for four quarters. A baby's cry. I mean, I feel like James Franklin would be all discombobulated. If there's a singular baby just wailing.
Or maybe like the fact that they could hear one guy that's like, hey, Franklin!
Strawberry!
Daryl! Who is that guy? Like, normally you can't hear the one guy.
Maybe that's what
you can
what
hear that
happen.
One guy. You can hear every thought he has.
That's what's happening. Okay, what's your prediction for Penn State? I'm going L.
So I'm going L, but if fans were in the stadium, I would take whoever was home.
The one thing,
because Penn State's home field advantage is the real deal.
You ever been to Happy Valley?
It's serious.
Have you ever been there, though? Have you ever actually been there?
No.
I called a basketball game there. Dog.
It's crazy.
Well, I'm just saying the town, I mean, it's like there's nothing there. I mean, the airport you fly in has like, we have two gates. That's gate one. And that's gate two.
But that's not a plane. That's a horse wagon. No.
You need a Uber? Well, we got something better than Uber. That's old Bessie there.
It actually does. You can use an app. It's Bessie. But Bessie is about a 4-hour wait from where her...
Where Bessie's she comes eating from. Hay as we speak. So
she
Bessie's
sleeps
be
most of the day. She eats hay. And then she gives you one ride. So... We didn't work out the business model of Bessie, but
God,
we're tech savvy here in Happy Valley.
God.
No, but my brother played there in the early 2000s, and my dad told me that people drank a lot.
Oh, I bet
beer cans are piling up outside the stadium.
It looks
and they
like,
get that the white
the,
in
the
there.
The city, the whole it's like you're drive. I remember when I flew in and I'm driving to my hotel, and it's like you're driving kind of through these trees, and all of a sudden just like boom. The yeah. football stadium's there. You're in. It's interesting. But, yeah, that place, I could see that place get rocking, bro. Yeah, that place would be tough. But again, with no fans either way, it just
this is neutral field almost.
Basically.
I'll give it to Penn State. Right now, they're more talented.
So we got them 2-2 in the tough four-game stretch. I mean, I'll take that. If someone offered me that right now, I'd take that.
I would take
that. All right, Illinois at home. I'm going dub on that ass.
I'm going win.
Black Friday, Bill Moose special at Iowa.
God, that's our fifth game?
That's our sixth game.
Sixth game is Black Friday. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going Nebraska. We always come optimistic, don't we? I have a hard time not giving Nebraska wins. Like, even with Ohio State, I was like, do I have to do this? Do I have to?
I feel like you're like, all right, week one, Nebraska. At New England, you'd be like,
with Brady or without? With Brady or without?
You got to think about that now. Eric Chenander shutting down Cam Newton. Mm. So you're going dub at Iowa?
Dub at Iowa.
Golly, I hate doing this. I gave a dub against Whiskey, so I'm going to go an L at Iowa.
You're probably.
Okay, so at Purdue. I want to know if like Rondale Moore's playing. Like, I feel like if Rondale Moore's playing, I'm going to go L. But if Rondale Moore's not playing, I go dub.
Here's the hard part is Purdue. They got all of their spring ball. And then they've Rondale Moore's a question mark. I'm going to go L just out of Nebraska love.
I'm going to go L too.
Damn it.
All right. Then Minnesota at home. I'm going dub.
Oh. I might have to change my Iowa because that's at Iowa.
At Iowa.
I'd rather beat Minnesota right now, lose at Iowa. Oh, I don't know.
Well, it's not about what you want. It's about what you think is going to happen.
I know, but what do I really think is going to happen? I think we can beat Minnesota. And I
at
think
home,
I,
and you're going to take an L against.
Iowa's a worse matchup for us right now.
So we think Nebraska's going to go 4-4? Is that what we're thinking?
I'm 4-3. You're 4-4. No, wait.
I have them beating Wisconsin, Northwestern, Illinois, and Minnesota. So I have them going 4-4.
Oh, it's 8 games. That's right. I was thinking 9 games. 8 games. So I am.
So week 9's that like big.
Was
10
I five
special.
And three? I was 5-3.
You were 5-3.
That's so bad. I'm gonna stick with it just because I'm drunk. I'm borderline drunk right now. That means I'm in a good.
Oh, man. I just want the Sam Keller suit EA Sports.
Oh, God.
Last week, Sam Keller suit EA Sports. Fans, let's hear it for these Huskers in the NFL.
Husker history, folks.
Last week, Bo Rude went to Nashville and had 15 Coors Lights. Fans, let's hear it for these Huskers in the NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, anything we're missing? I mean, what are we at? We're at 45 minutes. Okay.
How do we do that?
I don't know. We got on a tangent about Nebraska being Stone Cold Steve Austin. If we change the tunnel walk to Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme music.
I think that's how we should come
out. Does
Nebraska
go? The question is, does Nebraska go 8-0 if instead of the tunnel walk, it's Steve Austin's leading them out of the tunnel.
If we go to Ohio State with
Steve Austin,
glass shattering, stone cold Steve Austin music, our chances of a winning go up 10%. I'm not even kidding.
If Steve Austin leads them out of the tunnel with two beers, and before they run on, he hits the beers, chugs them, and then they run on.
I don't know how we lose.
I don't know how you'd lose that game.
And I mean that. Like, I think if I was a player, I'd be like, we're going to win, right? Like, you can't do that and lose. You can't.
It's one of the coolest acts a human being can make. To the stone cold music, hit two beers.
Because then Ohio State's your bitch.
Yes.
As soon as you do that to them, they're your bitch.
It's impossible for them to feel cool after that.
No, they're the losers.
You just take away all their cool and their swag. That's
Stone Cold never lost. He was the guy that didn't really ever lose.
Although, no, he did. Because Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania, he blocked Sweet Chin Music and turned it into a Stone Cold Stunner. Yeah. Come on, Doug. That's what needs to happen. Cam Taylor is going to Stone Cold Stun Justin Fields. It's going to be fantastic. All right, we better wrap it up before we say anything ridiculous because this wine's kicking in pretty good. All right, well, again, we said this on the Big Ten Football Being Back. This is just so exciting, though, that we do. We started out complaining, but overall, we're excited.
No, we started out saying we're not going to complain. All we did was complain.
If someone was, you know, if you have a fact checker for like speeches, political speeches, if someone had like an optimistic, pessimistic meter, the majority of our comments were pessimistic in this podcast. But overall, we're happy that football's here.
Yeah. We needed to vent, and we hope you guys were helping you vent too.
Because you can't be happy about the order of that thing.
Yeah, we got a gripe. We got a gripe to pick.
I wanted to open up with Mayonnaise Tech. I wanted Mayonnaise Tech at home.
I wanted Wonder Bread University.
I wanted Wonder Bread University coming.
I wanted the softest thing possible.
Charmin A&M. Charmin A&M.
Charmin A&M.
That's what needed to happen.
Maybe Southwest Pillow. Technology.
Tempur-Pedic. I want a Tempur-Pedic Tech to come to Lincoln. All right, my friend, let's raise a glass. Cheers to the season. We may not like the order, but at least we have an order, and let's see what can happen here in the 2020 season, my friend. All right, cheers.
Cheers.
All right, cheers. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Parkville Media Production.